together to worship. And I am blessed to know that I have a church body here who loves to worship with me. Today we continue in this new series, Live Free, and we're talking about the power of unhindered kingdom living because of Christ. We used last week an introduction to the conclusion of Acts as a jumping point into this new series. In Acts chapter 28, verse 31, we see Paul being referred to as one who is living an unhindered life. And what it says of Paul, what it says of Paul is that he welcomed in anybody who came to him. He welcomed in anybody who came to him with the teaching of the kingdom of God, with preaching, with proclaiming the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we're looking now in this series, Living Free, to what is an unhindered life? What does it mean to live unhindered? That's that final word in Acts, unhindered. I believe there's power in it. Last week we looked to the power to unhindered kingdom living, the power of having God's lavish love upon us all. Well, today we look at the living free idea with unhindered forgiveness. And I think in life we often feel stuck. And we don't know why. Sometimes we're struggling. We think, I just feel stuck. Why am I stuck? And I think if we really think about it long enough, we'll see that we feel stuck because of a lack of forgiveness within our life. Now, maybe it's a lack of forgiveness that what you feel you've received from somebody that you're due to receive it from. Maybe it's a lack of forgiveness that you feel stuck because God's trying to convict you. God's trying to show you you owe someone else forgiveness. And I think each and every single one of us have this within our lives. There's people that we're not even aware of that we owe an apology. We owe forgiveness. But then at times also, there's times where we need to recognize that we've already received forgiveness. And we need to move forward. We need to move forward. God forgives us, and we are to forgive others. And then we are to live in this forgiveness. One pastor once said that there's hardly a person in this world who doesn't have a scar on their soul. God's solution for hurt, heart, a scar, is forgiveness. I think that's powerful, so I want to read it just once more. He says, there's hardly a person in this world who doesn't have a scar on their soul. God's solution for hurt, heart, a scar, is forgiveness. Now, to follow this illustration, he used an illustration, and it went like this. A gentleman owed his pastor $8,000. Does anybody owe me $8,000? No? Okay. I'm just checking. A gentleman owed his pastor $8,000. The pastor had offered to help the man out of a jam. Well, over time, it became obvious that the man was not going to pay the pastor back. Every time the pastor saw the man, he also saw his lost $8,000. And what made it worse is the fact that the man had never acknowledged this. He never bothered to come to him with an explanation and or saying, I know I still owe you. I'm so sorry. I'll get it to you. I promise. Well, after many weeks, finally, the man came to his pastor and offered his sincere apologies. He was not going to be able to repay his debt. The pastor made the decision at that very moment, in the instant, to forgive the man and to forgive the debt he owed. He released him from the debt he owed and promised to never raise the subject again. Now listen to this, though. Here's the power in the story in releasing his debtor. Forgiving him and the debt, the pastor also released himself from the frustration, the anger, the hurt of being owed. You see, we sometimes hold on to grudges. We hold on to debts. We hold on to frustrations, whether real, known, imaginary, or implied. But in so doing, we're not just hurting another. We're hurting ourselves. And with each passing moment, a lot of times those frustrations, those angers, they just grow and grow and grow. We're not meant to live with that. We're meant to live with forgiveness and with God's love in mind. You see, forgiveness is powerful. It's something that all of us need, and thankfully for Jesus, we all have access to it. The forgiveness of God is so accessible to all. That one pastor compared it to a Motel 6 commercial. Now, I love this illustration, but my daughter, she did not understand it. She's not old enough, but many of you might remember the old hotel commercial from Motel 6. We'll leave a light on for you. We'll leave a light on for you. Well, he said God's light of forgiveness is always on, always welcoming those sinners home who want to repent and seek forgiveness and find freedom in him. God leaves a light on for you. But you don't need to make a reservation. He's always welcoming you. His light is guiding you in. Here's the thing about forgiveness, though. Once forgiven, one must stop bringing it up. We must stop ringing the bell. And I want to share one more illustration before we get into the meat of the sermon, because I think it's so appropriate. I want you to think of a bell tower. I want you to think about ringing a bell. And maybe you've rung our church bell before. If not, I invite you all at the end of church service today, go ahead, make a line at the bell and take your turn. Ring that bell. Let people know you were at church today. But I want you to think about that bell and think about it in this way. To ring the bell, the rope must be pulled down a few times. One time, unless you really yank on it, is not going to ring the bell. It's just going to get it moving. There must be a constant pulling to bring about a constant ringing of the bell. Now, after the pulling is over and the person pulling the rope lets go, the bell will keep swinging. The bell does not instantly stop swinging just because the rope is released. It will slowly, eventually, come to a stop. And with it, that bell will slowly stop ringing as well. You see, forgiveness is the act of letting the rope go. It means that you choose to no longer hold the rope. A lack of forgiveness is when you won't let go. You keep pulling and pulling and pulling the rope. You keep hearing and hearing and hearing that bell ringing. And it keeps penetrating to your very soul. It's not just hurting your ears. It's a reminder of the constant hurt which maybe you have or which you have not sought forgiveness for or given. Each ring of the bell reminds us of each wrongdoing inflicted upon us by another. The constant ringing keeps the wrongdoings on our mind. But now, if we choose to let go, the mind may still hear the ringing for a while as you have that ringing in your ears. But if you let go, it will stop. Here's the point. Don't let the fact of the feelings of the pain get in the way of your forgiveness. The lack of forgiveness only makes the pain more damage inflicting as that bell keeps ringing louder and louder and louder in your life. Hear this. You are responsible to let go of the rope and let the bell stop. Let the bell stop. What's the big deal about forgiveness as we move into the meat of the conversation today? Forgiveness to a Christian is everything. Because forgiveness to a Christian from God is life. You cannot truly live without the forgiveness from God received, acknowledged, and lived in. Forgiveness comes from God, and forgiveness is needed for all. For all are sinners. All fall short of the righteousness of God. Forgiveness of sin, though, used to come through this complicated sacrificial system as described in the Old Testament. But again, Jesus changed everything. And the forgiveness we have through Christ is everything to us. In a single act of love, a single act of love of God through Christ and the cross, we have received an open door for everyone to have the possibility to receive the love of God and to live in it forever. In his presence. And this is point one today. Forgiveness is for everyone. God's love is for everyone. Forgiveness is for everyone, not just for the few. That's point one. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all. Forgiveness is not just for the someones. As I mentioned, the system of forgiveness used to be a complicated one, centered around the concept of repentance and atonement. It involved a complex system of sacrifices of animals, rituals, prayers that were intended to restore a person's relationship with God and with the community of which they had sinned to. Repentance was the first step, but then reconciliation needed to be done. Atonement needed to be done, and this involved animals. rituals, prayers. Symbolically, they would be transferring the guilt of the individual onto the animal being sacrificed. This is where we get the idea of Christ being the blemishless lamb, which took upon himself our guilt, our sin. All that to say, it was a thorough process that required a vast amount of energy, blood, animals, and sacrifice. And look how Jesus has changed everything to make it the simple gospel. Not to mention, this was only available for the Israelites or others who were adopted into the faith. Jesus changed everything there also. Jesus brought it to the Gentiles. Jesus focused on the poor. He focused on the unlike. He didn't focus just on the religious few. He didn't focus on just the leaders of society. He went to the outcast. He went to all. And through his single sacrifice, the cross, forgiveness is available to all who confess and believe. Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Let's look to the day of Christ's sacrifice, our atoning sacrifice together. Referencing Luke 23:34-38, we see that when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, one of the criminals who hung there threw insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah?" he said. "Save yourself and us." I think he's mocking Jesus here. "I thought you were claiming to be the Messiah, and look at you, hanging on a cross beside us. Well, save us. Save yourself." But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done no wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And listen to this closing here. Jesus answered him with these famous words. I'm sure you all know, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." You see, this shows us that very fact. Salvation is for everyone. Forgiveness is for everyone. But it's through Jesus. It's through Jesus. This story highlights for us the power of believing in Jesus. It highlights that through Jesus, we have an unhindered freedom to Christ and to be forgiven. We have an unhindered freedom to Christ and to be forgiven. That's the next slide there, Dave. Unhindered freedom to Christ and his forgiveness is here. Unhindered freedom to Christ and forgiveness is here. I repeat that because I think some of us need to hear it. I don't know if it's for yourself. I don't know if it's for a loved one, for someone within your household, for a friend, or for some coworker or neighbor or community member. Maybe it's just for the general world population, as we all want to just think all the world is damned to hell, doomed. Unhindered freedom to Christ and to forgiveness is here. But one must, as Romans 10:9 again says, declare with their mouth, "Jesus is Lord," and believe in their heart, "God raised him from the dead," and you will be saved. Confess and believe, that's it. That's the simple gospel. Thank you, Austin, for picking that song. What a great and appropriate song for today. The simple gospel, confess your sins, believe in the Lord as your Savior. Pretty straightforward path to forgiveness, isn't it? But we so often complicate it. But number two is this. We are forgiven to forgive, saved to save, redeemed to lead to the Redeemer. You see, forgiveness is not just about being forgiven by God, but also about extending our forgiveness to another. We must move forward. Acknowledge your forgiveness. Respect your forgiveness. Appreciate it. But then look forward in your life and see, does somebody else need to hear about this forgiveness? And maybe it's a apology on your behalf for something personally that you've done, or maybe that you've thought. Or maybe it's seeking forgiveness for something that you've done. Or maybe it is, and we know this is true for all, to make known the forgiveness that they need by God. Remember the simple gospel. This is about sharing the amazing news of Jesus with others. And remember, it's not just for the someones in your life. God's example is to all. For all have fallen short of the glory of God and all need a Savior. You see, forgiving others is not only an act of obedience, though, to God, but also a way to experience true healing yourself. For it's through this forgiveness that you also release your burdens, your anger, your frustrations, your resentment. We're all called to forgive as we have been forgiven. Colossians 3:13, a great scripture. It's all great, but I love how this is stated in the New Living Translation. It says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Christ's unhindered forgiveness is our guide. That's the next slide there. Christ's unhindered forgiveness is our guide. It's our example. We should not be hypocrites in our life. What does that mean? We shouldn't be saying one thing to people, but then not living by what we claim to be saying or what we're claiming to know to be true. We're talking about the great forgiveness that we have, and yet we fail to show it to others, whether it be our own forgiveness or the forgiveness of God and how to get it. I love how the scripture says, make allowance for each other's faults. We know that our friends, let alone society as a whole in the world, they're going to have faults against us. They're going to hurt us. But we need to give opportunity to forgive. And sometimes that means even in their stupidity or in their ignorance, when they don't even realize what they've done, we can't continue to hold things against them, especially when we haven't even talked about it with them. We need to live by the example of Christ and forgive and move forward so that they can move forward with us. Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of your sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's worth noting here, Jesus warns us about withholding forgiveness from others. You could say he warns us of putting up obstacles, putting up walls, which are so thick that they cannot be penetrated. It's hypocritical to think that others don't also need forgiveness. It's hypocritical to think that we shouldn't also make an opportunity for forgiveness when God has given us so much. But I think Christ also shows us here that there's more to forgiveness than just spirituality and growth and such. A lack of forgiveness can cause great struggles in our life, such as our emotions. We've talked about that. Unforgiveness often leads to negative emotions, anger, resentment, bitterness, hatred, stress, anxiety. It also leads to health problems. I'm no doctor, but I do think your unforgiveness, your lack of forgiveness to people, as it causes higher blood pressure, as it causes anxiety and stress within your life, it also can cause mental health issues like depression. It causes you to not be able to be around somebody, so it also causes a damaged relationship, which maybe at one time was good. Maybe it was great. Maybe it's that problem, that person which really spoke into your life about your problematic living. We need friends in our life who aren't just going to speak of all the encouragements, but fail to point out the faults. We need both. But in that, we also need to remember to point out the good. And I know I do. I need that. Within myself, I need those friends. I need those people to not just point out the fault, but point out the good things. But I also need people who are willing to point out the bad too. And we need to be willing to hear it. But remember that scripture for the lifting up of the body, for the building up, not just for the tearing down. Finally, a lack of forgiveness, a lack of forgiving attitudes within our life also leads to us being stuck in the past, holding ourselves in the past or holding others in the past, not allowing us to move into the true futures of which God wants us to live for and in. Let's start to work to close here. Luke 23:34, Jesus is recorded as saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. For they know not what they do. What a great love Christ had. God sent him for us as a great example of his love for us, yet while we are still sinners. What an example for us in forgiveness. The sacrificial love of God is something we're supposed to use as a guide, as a guiding light, as an example. But we must also admit, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. Forgiveness is a complicated thing. But when we look to the example of Christ, it's a lot simpler. And when we remember the fruit of the Spirit that we have within us, it's even simpler yet. John 14:6 tells us to remember Jesus stating a new way to forgiveness, a new way to life, a new way to redemption. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, forgiveness, as complicated as it might be, is straightforward. Forgiveness is possible. As one author once said, the essence of the whole Christian position is that we have all sinned and forgiveness is still possible. I think sometimes we hold ourselves to an unachievable goal, or we hold others to this unachievable goal within our life. And we either think forgiveness is not possible, I'm too far gone, and maybe that's from the love of God, or maybe that's from a friend or someone else. But we fail to remember forgiveness is possible. For look to Christ. Look to God's love. Forgiveness is possible. Say that with me. Forgiveness is possible. Remind yourself, forgiveness is possible. But you need to stop ringing the bell. Stop ringing the bell. Allow forgiveness to come. Allow a clarity to come. Allow yourself to hear again, to see again, for the ringing to stop. Just as sin has been generously made available to us all, we are to offer it equally generously to those around us. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's live rightly with forgiveness in mind, looking to move forward by his love, in his love, by his glory, in his glory for all things. As you leave today and as we sing the simple gospel together withstanding, I do want you to think about how we've complicated the gospel of forgiveness. Who are we holding back the gospel of Jesus Christ from? Tell them of the forgiveness of God, the love of God. But then also think about your life. Are you living in that forgiveness? And then are you also forgiving those around you? I know there's more I can work on there. I think we all can. Let's pray together as the worship team comes up. And remember, Christ brings unhindered forgiveness to our lives today. Lord, we thank you for the unhindered freedom and forgiveness we have through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for how you have simplified the gospel to live by faith, to confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord, repent of our sins, and be saved. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love. Amen. Please stand. Let's sing this closing song together.
I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. used to think that I could box you in, but I'm laying down. I wanna know you, Lord. I used to think that I could box you in, but I'm laying down. I wanna know you.
Thank you for the simple gospel. We thank you for Jesus. Please forgive us for how we overcomplicate this life so often because we fail to focus on Jesus. We fail to focus on the forgiveness we have through Him and Him alone. Lord, help us to remember Christ, to remember your love, to remember your sovereignty in all things, Lord, and to live with these things on our mind with every day and every moment and every place we go. May we live with these things in our mind. May we live to glorify you. May we live to glorify you. And Lord, may we live to glorify you. I say that three times because, Lord, I think so often our life is not lived to glorify you. It's lived to glorify self. Forgive us for living for ourselves, Lord. Please forgive us and help us to move forward with your glory on mind in all things. Amen. Thank you for joining us in worship. We ended about 5 minutes late, so Sunday school was starting to end 5 minutes late as well. God bless you.